Is it time for Australia to have a drought policy in place? And should it include climate change? Think tank the Australian Farm Institute is warning that just telling farmers to be prepared for drought without giving them the tools to do so is both disingenuous and irresponsible. Executive Director Richard Heath says there needs to be a drought policy and climate change is the reason why. I started by asking him, since we don't have one, how hard is it to create a drought policy?
Well, history would suggest, I think, Warwick, that it's extremely difficult to get a good long-term drought policy. It seems that the political pressure, whenever there is talk about drought, is to address the immediate needs, which is completely fair. But that often means that a focus on how to genuinely keep people out of drought so those immediate needs don't become quite so severe whenever there is a drought, you know, the real long-term discussion around that tends to get missed.
In fact, for the piece you wrote for the Australian Farm Institute, you said, and I'll quote it back to you, this is simply saying that farm businesses should be prepared without providing the tools and conditions to allow for preparation is not only disingenuous but also irresponsible and will not reduce the number of people suffering hardship each time there is a drought, end quote. Can you explain what you mean by that?
So in 2013, there was significant change to national drought policy with an intergovernmental agreement that took away things like the exceptional circumstances provision methodology for interest rate subsidies and so on, and a shift towards policy that suggested that farms should work towards being prepared for drought rather than relying on business support when a drought came along. Now, I think, you know, everyone would suggest that that's a reasonable approach, but if that policy approach is taken without that sort of analysis on just how, what capability farm businesses do have to become genuinely prepared, particularly in the context of a changing environment where periods in between droughts are going to look different to what they have in the past, then that's, I think, a bit short-sighted.
Are we not factoring in things like climate change in this debate enough, I suppose, in terms of preparation and what farmers will have to respond to?
That's certainly what I'm suggesting, because historically, and this is, you know, over a long period of time, there have been, and I use the word regardedly, relatively long periods between droughts where farm businesses could rebuild financial and natural capital. And that's sort of been a very broad model that farm businesses have worked on, in that you build up your equity between droughts, so when there's another drought, again, you're in a relatively strong financial position. Now, all the climate science, everything, you know, all the models are suggesting that those periods between droughts are going to be shorter, and they're also going to be subject to more extreme weather conditions, such as floods and frosts and heat waves. So the ability to, you know, to address that requirement to rebuild your equity is going to be happening in a different environment to what it has in the past. And so I think policy needs to recognise that. If policy is based on preparedness, then if you're not recognising that the ability to prepare under a different climate is going to impact on that, then it is short-sighted.
How would you factor climate change into a drought policy then?
So two things. First of all, the how we actually, you know, the farm practices that are being undertaken. And I think that this is already happening and really not getting as much attention as it should at the moment, in terms of the amazing advances that Australian agriculture has made through R&D to cope with a changing climate. I mean, some of the stories of production that are happening this year in this historical drought would have just been unfeasible not that long ago. You know, some of the yields in test plots and research plots from crops that have had very, very little rain are really quite extraordinary. And that's because of improvements in farming practices that are storing moisture better and then accessing that moisture and growing the crop. And it's the same with pasture management and the way that we think about maintaining pasture and things like drought lotting and so on. There's all sorts of practices that have meant that Australian agriculture is getting much more resilient to a changing climate, and that needs to be a continual focus and an accelerated focus of R&D, is looking at what's working now in this drought, understanding why it's working, and that extending, resourcing and extending that, you know, as much as we possibly can. The second bit, however, is that, you know, all the indications are that even with best practice in farming methods and becoming as resilient as we possibly can be, there are still going to be times of extended severe climatic conditions and severe droughts where no matter what sort of practice you're undertaking, it's just going to be extremely difficult financially to stay resilient. And that's where I think that there needs to be, again, from, you know, a policy recognition that incentives or mechanisms to advance a greater range of commercial risk management products to help with that financial resilience is something that needs to be thought of as part of preparedness policy for drought.
And so that's interesting. I might tackle your first point first, if that's okay. In terms of the research and the change in farming practices that have been almost a real boon for this drought for many farmers in getting something from the year, do you think that research and the increased focus in that area is a responsibility of government, or is it responsibility of research and development organisations paid for by growers?
Well, it's both, isn't it? I mean, it's in growers' interests for levies to be spent on research that will advance, you know, keep them in business and help with their profitability. And it's also obviously in the interest of the nation that we have a functioning agriculture that is dealing with the climate as well. So, you know, I don't think you distinguish between those two needs.
And on the second point, in terms of what to do when something like this hits, when there is a drought that has to be talked about, what's your thoughts on some of the existing tools in drought policy around the country, like farm management deposits? There's talk about improving the crop insurance scheme. What about some of those ideas and how they would work in a drought policy framework? What are your thoughts there?
Look, I think farm management deposits are already demonstrating their effectiveness in terms of financial reserve that can be called on by farmers in times that they need to use those. I think, as well as farm management deposits, a more mature market for income insurance, and I use that term very broadly. I mean, a lot of people immediately think of multi-peril crop insurance when you start talking about income insurance, but there's an increasing range of income protection products that are becoming available, things like weather derivatives, that will help, you know, stabilise incomes and provide the ability for farms of any size to protect themselves a little bit more in terms of financial resilience.
And what about the idea of people wanting to help and sending fodder to drought-affected areas? Should we be still doing that, or should we be taking animals out of areas that are extremely drought-affected?
So the response to droughts, as we see inevitably when they get very, very severe, with very well-intentioned responses from the public to donate money to help charities to provide fodder and so on, is always a signal that really proper drought policy hasn't worked. Now, I know that sounds quite blunt and quite tough, but surely the aim of long-term really good drought policy should be preventing farm businesses getting to that stage where they need to call on that sort of charity support to help them get through. I think, you know, there's no one that would suggest that that's in anyone's best interests.
You've clearly put some thought into drought policy and how things sit. Obviously, climate is something that you think is very important to put into this. I suppose when you see this drought being reported as widely as it has been in the media and how high profile it has been over the last year or so, what has been going through your mind seeing not only how us and the media have been doing it, but how it's been viewed by the public, and how can that be done better?
I think it's been a really interesting look at the way that the public has reacted to this drought. And I think one of the big things that has influenced that that's been quite different to previous droughts is the impact of social media now. And I think that social media has led to the farmers themselves having a really big influence and a big say on how they're experiencing the drought, and perhaps kicking back a little bit at times and correcting what they see to be some of the overly negative coverage of the drought. Now, you know, obviously there are people doing it really tough, really desperately tough, and no one's denying that that's happening. However, there's also, as I talked about before, stories of incredible resilience and, you know, amazing stories of research success that should be highlighted as well. And I think the ability of social media and the ability of farmers to sort of tell those stories and balance out the story a little bit, again, looking at that, how do we move forward? How do we actually keep developing agriculture and keep developing policy that, so that there's more of those stories, has been, I think, a really, you know, good part of the storytelling in this drought. And it'd be good if there was more of it.
Make the most of it while the spotlight is on you. Richard Heath, thank you very much for giving us some of your thoughts today on the Country Hour.
Thanks, Warwick.
Richard Heath, the Executive Director of the Australian Farm Institute there. You're listening to the Country Hour.